afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sherry here, Director of the Comptroller's Audit Division. This report is the result of a budget item that directed us to look at the mandated services provided by the sheriff and focus on some of the efficiencies within that office, and to also look at discretionary services and further to identify some efficiencies or areas where the sheriff or municipalities could provide services in a different way. The context for this was really the 2012 adopted budget, where there were some substantial reductions in the sheriff's appropriation. That was a sharp departure from a general trend that existed the previous 9 years. That situation was somewhat remedied in 2013 with the adopted budget, but in any event, the sheriff's department, the sheriff's office, is one of our larger functions. It's got over 1,250 employees. So we started off in this inquiry looking at what are the sheriff's responsibilities, and in fact, the definition of the sheriff's responsibilities has been the subject of a lot of court action. And so on the one hand, it was very clear that the sheriff has very broad statutory and constitutional authority to provide law enforcement services in the county, but we attempted to pin down which of those were mandatory versus discretionary, and that's really the document you see, Table 3 on page 17. I want to be very clear, this is our list. The sheriff and his staff do not necessarily agree with this list. You may not agree with this list, but it's our judgment that these are the mandatory, the discretionary, and the ancillary services that the sheriff provides. We also attempted to lay out some underlying detail, so should you at any future date decide to make policy decisions based on that information, we try to pin down headcount and cost associated with each of those line items. We do know, though, that with the exception of the emergency management and the HOC, or the CCFS, there is a significant amount of commonality across the state with the other sheriffs, especially in the next five most populous counties of the state. Moving on to the efficiency part, we chose to look at the two core aspects of the sheriff's operation that amount to almost 60% of what he does. And we picked some efficiency indicators within those two areas, detention and expressway patrol. And our conclusion is that the sheriff has maintained a consistent level of efficiency of operations, especially in those two key areas of his responsibilities. With the detention, one of the key things we have looked at before was his overtime, and he's done a fairly good job in past years of decreasing reliance on overtime. That is a trend that played out while he absorbed the HOC, now CCF South, and it did, though, start to tick up a little bit in the last couple of years. With regard to expressway patrol, the sheriff has maintained a consistent staffing level and stable response times. One of the key things on expressway is to get to the person in distress or need in a timely manner, and the sheriff has indeed done that. There was also a budget item that addressed an annual report that you were interested in from the sheriff, and we incorporated that in our study to identify whether or not there were some metrics that could be used to look at economy and efficiency and effectiveness. And what we found was that the sheriff does indeed produce such a report, that they have a fairly robust management information system. It has the capability to provide statistical information that is commonly used in other law enforcement agencies. We should point out, though, that that is not information that the sheriff has been willing in the past to provide to you directly. And whether or not he chooses to produce an annual report as you request, many of the components could be included in the budget. You could work with budget staff and your staff to try and get some of that information in the budget. But it's there, it's used for management decision making, and there is an internal performance system. Moving on to another part of the directive for this report, we attempted to look at the cost structure within the sheriff's office and compare it to other governments' law enforcement functions. And a couple of things first. We noted that there is a national trend with regard to this type of service for collaborations up to the county level rather than devolution down to the municipal level. And that's something that we kept in mind as we proceeded with the work. When we're looking at costs and doing cost comparison, we also had to fundamentally agree that, as your auditors, we were going to set aside costs that relate to legacy obligations, legal obligations, because they really, at the end of the day, they don't have a lot of bearing on what you do going forward. And that's something that, again, we would caution you to always keep in mind. Whenever you're looking at a change in who provides a service, you kind of have to take legacy off the table in doing that analysis. When we did that, we found that our sheriff's staff has a relatively low personnel cost per sworn officer when we compared it to the three largest municipalities in Milwaukee County. The hourly rates for municipal police range from 6.6 to almost 31% higher than county sheriff's deputies. And that's just something that we put out. Again, I should probably step aside for a moment and say, you don't see a lot of recommendations in this report. When we looked at the scope and we conducted our audit, we really only had two recommendations. I would classify them as fairly minor. They go to the issue of how the emergency management function of county government is delegated and appointed, and those are the only two recommendations you see. The rest of this we hope can be of value to you when you go forward and make decisions in the future about who should be providing law enforcement services in the county. On that point, we note that there is a lot of commonality in terms of the sheriff's office and the multiple police agencies in the county in terms of what they do. I think one could argue a lot about the relative extent to which they do it. For example, you know, the sheriff obviously has detention, and you can argue about whether the sheriff's patrol is different from the municipal patrol, but in terms of just what it is, not how much it is or the nature of it, there's a lot of commonality. So that kind of feeds into our notion that there could be a discussion about rolling services up to the county level rather than down to the municipal level. There are, unfortunately, two things that kind of cut across that. And one is just a statement of fact. The constitutional authority of the sheriff is what it is. He can choose to do what, in his view, provides law enforcement services to this county. The other thing that we point out to you, it may be obvious, but we have readers beyond this room, and that is that one of the barriers to changing the way we do business, who does law enforcement services, is clearly the poor working relationship that this elected sheriff has with both you as a board and with the county executive. For this government to make functional decisions based on fact and policy, it's important that there be a more constructive working relationship between all parties. So, with that in mind, again, we identified things that if you would, as people who weigh in on the budget, decide to do certain things a different way, we attempted to quantify what the dollar impact of that might be. If you decide to move services from the sheriff's functions to a municipal function, I want to be very clear, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a dollar-for-dollar savings. If you were to do that, there may indeed be demands by the municipalities to be paid for any services that they may pick up. So there's some decisions that could be made about who should be doing certain law enforcement functions, and those are all identified in Table 3. There's another part of this, though, that I think you need to understand if you don't already, and that is that when something is mandated that it be done, it is not necessarily mandated how much of it must be done. Some things are unavoidable. You know, if you have to run a detention facility under a mandate, you obviously have to feed, clothe, shelter inmates and make sure that their health care needs are met. But in other areas, the amount of what any mandated service provider does can be a matter of discussion for policymakers. End of the day, we've laid out a lot of information here. We have the two recommendations that we're going to ask you to support just to clean up the emergency management piece of county service. But really what we hope we've given you is some information that you can use to make some policy decisions as we go forward. So this is informational for the most part beyond those two recommendations. And I'll stop there, Mr. Chairman, if you have any questions.
Thank you. Questions or comments from the committee? Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at tables, you spoke of the comparisons of the three largest municipalities within the county, comparing the wage rates of those municipalities with that of the sheriff, and we do see that markedly our sheriff's deputies are paid less. But when you look at the annual hours of paid time off, mm-hmm. then there's a marked difference there, where our deputies get more time off than the other three municipalities, and realizing that with respect to the size of their forces, of their staffs, much less than what we have here within the county. If you would care to comment on that, I think that would be vacation time, holiday, personal, and folding holiday time. Any other types of time involved there?
You've identified the key time off components. There's some slightly different treatment of sick leave in West Allis has a slightly different paid time off on for holidays. They mm-hmm. do it differently, but you know, fundamentally, we've factored all of these costs into the comparison of what it costs to hire and maintain a deputy versus what it hires to maintain an officer for the city of Milwaukee or West Allis or Wauwatosa. We laid out that information because we know that as a government, you're always looking at benefits. We've been doing that for a decade, and if there's things here that you could analyze and make a policy decision about, I mean, it's there for your consideration. On the whole, though, those off-time factors are in the cost structure that we laid out, and indeed our deputies are still considerably less expensive than the three municipalities we looked at.
And I was really surprised by that. Really surprised with that. Just as we had the discussion about the five-year forecast, financial forecast, I'm very surprised when you look at what is actually true, what is actually realized, that Milwaukee County is not necessarily the dregs of the area as it relates to, that is to say, our people, comparatively speaking, are not overpaid. I mean, that's an subjective characterization by me, but nevertheless, you've indicated that their wages are less than that of at least in comparison to three municipalities.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, on that point, just a reminder to all of you that when the county adopted a wage and benefits package in 2000 that includes some things that have caused some distress for this government, the deputy sheriffs did not ratify that package. So some of the things that you've had to deal with as a policymaker over the years really have never applied to sheriff's deputies because they weren't part of their labor contract in 2000, 2001.
Thank you, Mr. Hare.
You've been referring to your two recommendations, and the resolution doesn't specifically state what they are. Could you just say what those two recommendations are?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes. As it turns out, we've gone about the business of appointing the sheriff as the provider of emergency management services in conflict with state statute. And what we're suggesting is that the board clarifying the ordinances that appointment authority comes from the county executive, and what we're recommending to the county executive is that he in turn appoint the sheriff as the head of emergency management. It just functionally it makes sense, but technically we didn't quite go about it the right way when we set that function up. It used to be a separate office that was county executive office. It was located within the sheriff's office, and when we made the change some years back, we didn't touch all the bases before we did that, Mr. Chairman. So those are the only two recommendations.
I mean, the resolution just refers to them. It just says they concur with the audit recommendations contained therein.
Yes.
Thank you. We could, and I'm certainly not going to, the conversation about the beginning pay. We've been through this a long time. Two other municipalities were stealing a lot of our officers after they had a year training, and they take them because they were paying more. And as we get into negotiations, and then, the higher seniority people are unhappy because, so we can go on and on. And all these recommendations, mandatory versus discretionary, I think this is a great blueprint that I hope the administration and the sheriff's department, I know the sheriff has some reactions to some of this, of course. But I think you try to do it in the professional way that we've come to appreciate and expect. There's room for arbitrariness. I know maybe that's not quite the correct word, interpretation, possibly. Mandated things, how far we go on mandated. But here would be my challenge, and I would hope it would be a good summary, is that the sheriff and his budget people here, that we've become familiar with and respect, really look at this and look at it as a blueprint and say, here's our arguments when we come to budget. What really we need to do, what really should be in the budget, because I think they've tried to give us an honest budget and hours and priorities. I know he's going to do what he's going to do, so then let's be candid and honest about it. And this board has been always willing. Public safety is important to this board, like everybody else. We want to give every department the tools to get the job done. We want to do the same thing with the sheriff. We don't want to pay anything more. We don't have to. Sheriff has said that publicly himself anyway. Okay? And then it's up in the administration, I think, should. And as I look, because Mr. Camos has been, I think, very, very vital to this. In our last budget, I think we came to appreciate a lot of things he was doing. Maybe even some of us started to like him. Well, I don't know if that's possible. But I'm willing to say I'm sorry to say to see you leaving, because I thought that it takes some time to get on these budgets. We were getting the answers we really were looking for. I think more objective, not a political person. And I hope whoever comes into this, we get that. Because I think we had our training period together. And you were working with our staff, I thought, pretty well, too. So my main point is really sincerely this, that the administration takes this seriously, as I'm sure they do from our audit and our comptroller. The sheriff takes this very seriously as well. And they really delve into this, because this is really pretty much a budgetary blueprint. I mean, what are we going to prioritize? What does the sheriff need? How much can the administration afford? And by gosh, for one time, I would hope we could actually sit down together. Okay, I'm making a public pronouncement to both parties, even if we have differences in things, because this is budgetary. We're supposed to be, the county executive has gone out of his way to see how fiscally responsible he is. The sheriff has gone out of his way to share how fiscally responsible he is. Well, then why don't we get together and be fiscally responsible and do what's right, and I'll get the egos aside and use this as a document to say what really is mandated we have to and how much do we have to do. Do we honestly have to do some of these discretionary things? Would be less, take that, do the things we do well, administration, and then we can have a budget debate where there's some kind of commonality and we have a document to work from. I hope this would be a blueprint that we could honestly do that. I actually hope that's possible. Thank you.
Supervisor Drizik?
Yeah, I think, we should give credit where credit's due. I mean, audit clearly says that the sheriff has maintained a consistent level of efficiency of operations, and we should acknowledge that as policymakers that he does a good job in that regard, and I think we mentioned that before, that's one area the sheriff's department has been very strong. One area that I have often questioned and have never really gotten a good response is, for example, the county has the bomb squad, and it has been suggested that we provide the bomb squad to other counties. I've asked the question before whether the county gets compensated for providing those services, and really don't get answers to that. Mr. Mayor, were you able to look into shared services like that with other counties?
It is not unusual for counties. If you look at Table 419, you can see where we did identify the types of activities performed by other Wisconsin county sheriffs. And what you see on that specific issue with the bomb disposal unit is that in, for example, Brown County, there is a collaboration. In Racine County, they do use the Milwaukee and Kenosha sheriffs. In Waukesha County, they use Milwaukee sheriffs and MPD. My understanding of this is that when law enforcement agencies provide each other these types of services, they generally do it on a mutual aid type of a consideration, that if there's an all-call in Milwaukee County that would involve officers from Waukesha, Racine, or Kenosha coming to the scene, they would do so, and there would be reciprocity. Now, aside from that, there's always the opportunity to enter into contractual intergovernmental agreements. I believe you still have that option as a government. And there would be an opportunity to solidify some of those, especially if there is a sense that's a one-way street. Anecdotally, what we've seen is that one-way street is only as good as tomorrow. If tomorrow there's an incident that requires a major response from outer counties into the county, you're back to a different situation.
Yeah, and that was my understanding as well, that it was mutual aid. And I understand mutual aid because all of the police departments and fire departments do mutual aid. Mutual aid is a great concept, and I know it's planned for statewide. But my concern is that the other counties, I believe, don't even have the kind of equipment we have, and therefore we do become the provider. And quite frankly, this is the poorest county providing services for the wealthiest counties. And it strikes me as really being, again, one way that those that leave Milwaukee County but continue to receive all the benefits that the taxpayers in Milwaukee County actually pay for. And I don't know if there's any way to get at that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, other than the concept of taking what is now an arrangement that does not involve an exchange of funds and translating that into perhaps a budgetary issue or item for us that would involve an exchange of funds, I think that that's the kind of discussion we'd like to have come out of this audit. We think that as we go into the 14 budget, if hopefully there's something here you can use to try and get your hands around a different way of providing service or a different way of paying for service that can help relieve some of the financial stress that we're all fully aware of.
Yeah, and I can understand where the sheriff would, and I would agree with the sheriff. I mean, we should not be getting involved as policymakers with his requirement to provide mutual aid across counties. I mean, that's often done on an emergency basis, et cetera, and he's going to provide those services and make those decisions. But I do think it is a policymaker's concern when it's constantly only one way, and we have some real financial concerns now. I think we have to start addressing that in some way. And those counties that don't provide their own bomb squad or whatever perhaps should be looking at the kind of contracts we do with EMS. So that would be something I hope policy budget looks at as we go into next year.
We had no problem getting information about those kinds of services from the sheriff's employees, from command staff, fiscal staff. I understand relationships can be strained, but at some point, those of us who work here have to be able to work with each other kind of beneath all that, and we've been quite successful in doing that. We think, to some extent, the budget office has been and could be again. So I think if you look at what was in the budget that the exec recommended last year, a lot of data like this was there. I think that it can be built upon and fleshed out and made more useful to you as policymakers, but I think that last year's budget that the exec's team presented to you had a lot of really good metrics. And I know there's disagreement from the sheriff about the quality of it and the extent of it, but there were really good metrics in there that can't be used going forward.
Any other questions or comments? Go ahead, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if Inspector Bailey at some point is going to come forward.
He hasn't filled out a card at this point, but I was going to ask if they had some comments if they wanted to speak to this.
Because I, as a member of the Local Emergency Planning Committee, understand that the Emergency Government Bureau used to be in the safety building, and now it's in Franklin. And with respect to one of the recommendations of the Director of Audit and his staff is that the emergency government branch bureau be under the aegis of the county executive, as is the case for, according to state statute, which is the case, and we have a separate ordinance that puts it under the sheriff. So my question is, how does that work? How would that work if we were to transfer administratively, if we were to transfer the Emergency Government Bureau under the county executive, do you envision that the bureau would stay where it is? I don't know if the county executive would have any feel for day-to-day administration or monitoring of what happens through that particular bureau. So that's what I'm getting
Mr.
at.
Mr. Chairman, before you answer, can I be clear about our recommendation?
Sure.
Our recommendation is that we get ourselves in line with the state statute that allows the executive to make that appointment. We are recommending that the executive appoint the sheriff.
Good. Okay.
And just as long as we're on that topic, does the sheriff's office have any objection to that recommendation?
Not at all. We fully support that. Of course, it's predicated, Mr. Chairman, on the county executive's naming of the sheriff, but we, of course, support
the recommendation.
Recommendation is written. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
So we'd be happy to hear your comments on the audit.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll keep them relatively brief. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm joined at the table by our fiscal manager, Mr. Bill Lethlean. And I will say that conducting audits with Mr. Hare and Mr. Jenkins are a routine pleasure for this administration. We enjoy the working relationship. I heard Mr. Hare speak about that, and I completely concur. This audit was somewhat unique because we agreed at our initial meeting where we discussed scope and methodology that we were probably going to disagree on the main thrust of the audit, that is to say that this administration's position is the sheriff is the primary determiner of mandatory versus discretionary as a concept, and that his audit was going to seek to examine what other jurisdictions were doing as a method to get to that. So once we had that friendly conversation, the rest of this audit moved, I think, remarkably well, because at that point it was an exchange of performance data and valid financial data on our end, and it was their end's best efforts to go out and not only determine what we were doing and how much of it we were doing, but also what other sheriffs in the state of Wisconsin are doing as well. And when you talk about Supervisor Schmidt talks about this being a roadmap, to me, Table 4 on page 19, it has tremendous value. And there are all of the good work that went into this audit has tremendous value to our agency. And we have been spending the last several weeks since it was published going through it and intend to continue to do so. To answer the supervisor's question about emergency government, he recalls correctly that we used to have an independent head back when it was called emergency government. At that time, the last guy I remember having was a guy named Ed Marhefka, mm-hmm. Edward Marhefka. And so he worked out of the sheriff's office, but yes, he was a separate head who worked for the county executive. And that was a change prior to Sheriff Clark's administration. Currently, we don't have anybody in that role. We have more what you would consider a deputy director, a gentleman by the name of Carl Stenbol, S-T-E-N-B-O-L. Carl has a very good statewide reputation. He's working hard today with the rain, quite frankly. We've relocated them physically out to our training academy because a lot of what they do is training, but that was just a functional move to help him do his job, I suppose. We don't have an actual head of emergency management. With the change, the head of emergency management became Sheriff Clark, and that's, I think, what the resolution asks you to do, is to approve the county executive naming Sheriff Clark formally as the head of emergency management, and I certainly hope he does do so. He's a subject matter expert in emergency response and law enforcement, but he's a good enough administrator to allow Carl Stenbol to be a subject matter expert in how to deliver services and deal with the federal and state emergency management function. The sheriff, I can assure this committee, stays out of that. The tax levy amount for that operation is just under around $100,000. The majority of the cost of that operation, as you can imagine, is offset by federal grants. Finally, I would say that one of the areas, and it's the only one I'm going to talk about in terms of discretionary versus mandatory, has to do with Mitchell Airport, the operation out at Mitchell Airport. Of course, that's tax levy neutral as it comes to the 54, I believe, might be 55 deputy sheriffs that work out there. But as Mr. Herr said in his opening statements, somebody has to do that work. That work must be performed. Where that work cannot be performed by the sheriff's office, for us to look to perhaps contract out to a vendor, much like we did, I would say, with the Brewers in Miller Park. People remember deputy sheriffs at Miller Park. They're not there anymore. The Brewers have contracted out with the Milwaukee Police Department. You do have substantial legacy costs in the area of around $1.6 million that would lapse over, that are currently paid for out of the airport and the gate fees and the cross charges that would lapse back to tax levy. So there are several instances of that in this budget or in this audit. I think that they were fairly clearly identified, but I would encourage you to be mindful of those issues as the Finance Committee does its work. Any other particular questions I may have to the committee, I would certainly be happy to field. Thank you.
Do you have any response to Supervisor Jurczyk's bomb disposal question?
Thank you. Yes, two-part response. I thank her for her comments. Thank you, Supervisor. And I did hear that you have some questions about some of the financials and performance data out of that unit, and we will get that to you. If you're good enough to ask for it, we'll get it to you. As you can imagine, much of the costs of the equipment and training of the bomb squad are federal dollars. the federal government is interested in having a bomb squad functionally here in southeast Wisconsin. And in those federal dollars, because the feds are very big on regionalization, a lot of those grants that pay for all of the equipment and the training, not the officer's salary, just the equipment and the training, require us to give a regional response, because that's what the federal government wants to see, regionalization. It is possible to consider charging for services, but we would have to look at how that affects what, where the federal government in providing the equipment and training wants us to be. I know that the committee knows, but I'll remind them that the deputies who serve in that function are deputy sheriffs working at our airport and patrol division and courts division that provide that bomb function on call as needed. The days of, like, the Los Angeles SWAT team sitting around in vans waiting for a call are over. When the pager goes off, they respond from their other duty assignments. So the bomb function is an additional duty. So cutting the bomb function doesn't save us on the salary line. The majority of the equipment and training is provided by the federal government, but I'll get those financials to you, Supervisor.
Supervisor Drizik?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I guess my follow-up question would be, do you know how many hours we actually do spend responding to out-of-county bomb squad?
I don't have that, but I will have that by the end of the day. When Mr. Harris says that our business analytics metrics and the board approved spending of almost $1 million on our armed system, it tracks that in real time now. So I can tell you that. And I will say, more than anecdotally, we are the bomb squad that responds regionally. I'm not looking to dun my partners who wear blue uniforms with the word Milwaukee on their shoulders, but they're primarily here in Milwaukee. We are the ones that load up and go.
Yeah, and if you get it to me by board day, I mean, I don't expect you to get it by today, but I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
How large is the region that you have to cover?
We have a mutual aid agreement with all adjoining counties in southeast Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, we just signed a new one off last week, and I'm going to say it has something like a dozen counties on it, maybe even be exactly a dozen. But in the right circumstance, when the call comes out, we'll go, and we've gone as far north as Green Bay. I mean, when it's the right circumstance, we go.
Any other questions or comments? If not, we need a motion on the resolution. Okay, we have a motion to approve the resolution. Is there any discussion on it?
Mr.
Supervisor Alexander?
Could we please establish a quorum? I don't believe we've called at all since we came back from one.
Well, why don't we use the roll call on the motion to establish that? We can we don't have to do two roll calls. Use that to establish the quorum since everybody's here. So the motion is to approve the recommendation and establish the quorum. You know, I mean, we can do it by consensus. I know everybody's here. So.
Should pick a week to start slipping,
though. So anyway.
I would prefer the roll call, Mr. Chair.
Okay, being that it is apparent, it could be your last meeting, who knows?
we'll
do it your way.
Yes.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Chairman, I do concur with that opinion.
Supervisors Haas.
Here. Thank you.
Schmidt.
Here.
Romo Webb.
Present.
Thurston.
Here.
Lipscomb.
Here.
Alexander.
Present.
Stanford.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Mr. Chair.
Here.
We have 9 members for
really?
A quorum. Thank you very much.
Just a question on that, I mean, to be the troublemaker. Where in statute or ordinance requires us to establish a quorum when we're all sitting here looking at each other? We've just always done it? Is it one of those deals?
The Corporation Council.
Well, maybe Corporation Council can answer that. Is that necessary when you adjourn a meeting for a half an hour to come back and reestablish a quorum when everybody's sitting here? I don't think that's
Mr. Chairman, off the top of my head, I don't know the answer with respect to a recess. You know, setting aside the recess issue, obviously to have a meeting, you have to have a quorum.
Right.
But I don't off the top of my head know whether you have to reestablish a quorum after a recess without looking it up. I don't know.
Just curious. I just want to make Carol's last meeting more eventful.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, with the unanimous consent of the committee, I wish to be recorded as being present for the earlier, previous roll call as well, if I was not.
Real mark in. Just
okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so now we have a motion to approve the resolution.
On approval, Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Jersey.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion approved and a vote of 9-0. We'll be on item number 22 now, Mr. Chair.
Well, okay.
The other audits.
Do you have any hard copies of that available?
Of the audit?
Yeah. Sitting around.
I'll get the spare copy.
Thank you.
Is that what we will be on?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.